Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God's grace amazing? Amen. Absolutely, 100%. Sometimes it just blows me away. This and gift to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Glad you chose to be with us here today. Thankful for our church family. I'm so glad to be part of the, I believe the song goes, the family of God. I don't know why, but that's in my head right now. It's because the choir just sang it, Jacob. That's why. All right, very good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very similar verse to our theme verse for this. Remember when we used to have a bookstore? Remember the bookstore? Now it's a closet. Kids would come in and they would quote a verse to Mrs. Wilson and get a piece of candy. She had some qualifiers, so you couldn't use like John 3:16 or Jesus wept. But I do know that I was standing in the earshot of hearing this verse quoted many a time. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 16. Two words, really important though. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to assemble together with the purpose of worshiping you. God, I pray you'd use your word here today. Use it in a mighty way. Lord, Lord, touch our hearts with it. And Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, convict us where needed. Lord, again, we'll give you all the honor and glory. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. And as we get toward the end of this first chapter, he uses a bunch of things here. He's just trying to encourage the church. He reminds them to comfort one another, edify one another. And one of those things here in verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. We ought to have an attitude of joy, an attitude of rejoicing. Say, Pastor, you don't understand. You must live under a rock. There are mass shootings. This is Pride Month. That's about as stupid as I can. I don't know. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that in a minute, but inflation. You don't understand gas prices, Pastor. We're on the verge of a world war. What is there to rejoice over? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because sometimes, if you see a Christian walking around with their just bottom lip dragging along the ground, they have forgot this easy verse to memorize. Rejoice evermore. I understand that those sadnesses and heartaches and wickedness is all around us. But understand our joy, Jacob, does not come from this world. It comes from God Himself. And the last time I read through the scriptures, got to the end, He's still seated on the throne. He's still in control. So the things that we rejoice over as Christians has not changed. Sin is nothing new. By Genesis chapter number 4, we have a problem. Genesis chapter number 5, 6, God is ready to destroy all of mankind. So it's never been so wicked. Oh, it's been wicked. Wars, rumors of war. Hey, we're just getting close to the end. We're there. Say, what day? I don't know. But I know this. It's closer today than it's ever been. Closer today. So what is there to rejoice over? Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm currently working on a half of cup of coffee. So I do apologize if I seem a little slow, a little lax. The smell of grilled meat permeates our halls. Where Charity? Where's Charity? She's in Sunday school. She came out of the Sunday school classroom, and I was behind her, so she didn't see me. She says, it smells wonderful. It is true. I don't know what heaven looks like. We have some descriptions. I don't know what it smells like, but I dare say, I don't know. Okay. Ephesians chapter number 1, what is there to be rejoicing over, Pastor? Do you not know? The Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His amazing grace. See, I didn't say that. I added it. But God's amazing grace came into my life, forgave me all my sins. Full atonement, we ask the question, can it be? Yes. I have nothing to rejoice over. Then you're not saved. If you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, yeah, you're right. You have nothing to rejoice over. Because your hope is coming from this world. And although it's a beautiful, it is literally going to be sunny and 70 today with almost zero humidity. Unbelievable. This is why we live here. For these 2 weeks, this is why. This is what we get. Shovels are put away. Say, this is the best I got. Man, you're missing out. No wonder why you're miserable. For a Christian in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And not because I'm something special, but because of the riches of His grace. Rejoice over more, Christian. Why? Because your salvation has been paid for in full. Man, praise the Lord for that. Not only that, is it paid for full, but it's free. Look over to the next page, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8. Some young people go to college they go to college and are responsible enough to pay back their college loans. Not just wait until somebody just wipes it all clear. They created a debt and paid it back. Praise the Lord. I could never pay back what I owed in salvation. I could not pay enough. Yeah, it's been paid in full, but it's also paid for, and it costs me nothing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hey, I got nothing to rejoice over. Salvation is not only full, but it's completely free. Completely free to you and I. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I hate to admit it, but this dinner on the grounds, I made nothing. Mrs. Russo, I don't know. Sarah, what'd you make? I love mac and cheese. I'm going to go in and I'm just going to partake freely of what you all did. Maybe. I go at the end, so all that's left is baked beans. That's all that's left. Baked beans and some salad. Anyways, to which I'm thankful. Thankful. Hey, the wage of sin has been paid, and God gave us a gift that we all have the opportunity to partake in. Eternal life. And it is only through Jesus Christ. There's no amount of works that you could ever say, "Pastor, yeah, don't you understand? This is the anniversary Sunday. You're preaching to the choir. We're saved. The majority by your own testimonies, I've heard it. Uplifted hand. I know. But sometimes when we get focused in on the world a little bit and we lose our joy here, you know what happens? We forgot about that. Say, "I got nothing to rejoice over." Are you going to heaven? Well, you know, isn't that enough? Rejoice evermore, Christian, because of your salvation. It's free to all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Man. Not only was that debt paid in full, not only is it free, but it's available to everybody. This isn't like a Black Friday sale where they advertise it like crazy, try and get you in the door and there's only two, right? Wouldn't that be something? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I'm sorry, my salvation gift has run out." It's not like that at all. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why would he devise a plan where it was limited? No, not at all. Luke 15:7, look at the rejoicing over this. Not just over your salvation, but the person sitting next to you's salvation. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's Luke 15:7. Hey, we ought to be joyful over our salvation. We ought to be joyful when someone else comes to Christ. We read those missionary letters and we were praying for this guy for 4 months, 6 months, been working with him, meeting him for coffee an hour a week for, 20 weeks, whatever it was. And some name that we can't pronounce trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. No, we ought to rejoice in our heart. Why? Because not only is salvation offered unto us, but it's offered unto the whole entire world. Say, yeah, but it's so dark out there, and it's the sadness and the apostasy, the celebration of sin, so much so that they just call it Pride Month. Unbelievable. Inflation rate. Do you know the cost of me? Do you know that? Yeah, I get it. I get it. I know it's hard. But enough to steal the joy of your salvation? Man. Maybe we just forget a little every now and then. Maybe every now and then we forget about what it was like to go in and see that slate wiped clean. Maybe we forgot about what it was like to go from guilt to freedom. Let us rejoice evermore, church. Not only did he save us, but look at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names rejoice, Christian, because your names are written in heaven. There's a book. I don't know how big the book is. I don't know how many pages there are, but there's a book. And in that book is your name. The minute you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it gets written down. Amen. And it's waiting for you in heaven in a week. Isaac's going to come up here. We have a little certificate. We give you a certificate. You hang it on your wall for a little while. You lose track of it. Call mom. Hey, have you seen my thing? That's how it goes. Oh, yeah, we got it framed. It's in the basement. We'll find it. But when you trust Jesus Christ, your name gets written somewhere. In a real place. Years ago, how many of you have ever watched that show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Say, what is that? And it's this guy that eats really good food all over the country. And there's these little holes in the wall, and he goes and he tells you about this place, right? And he goes and he's like, hey, you got to try this out. Look at how big this is. And they like shut down the whole restaurant, or they stage people, and they're sitting there, and they're like, I love this. And then, they're talking about all the food that they love. Well, we were out of town. There's not a lot in Rochester. We were out of town, and we went to this place that was there. Well, on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So we walk in. We sit down. We're like, hey, we want the thing that Guy Fieri said was so good. He's like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. We just did it for the show. Isn't that what he said? Exact words. We traveled literally like 10 minutes to go to this place. Waited an hour. Going. You think that's what heaven's going to be like? Hey, we get up there. Hey, where's the streets? No. Hey, Christian, we got a place to look forward to. We got someone to look forward to. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Go back there. This isn't some TV show that they staged to make it look like a thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Look at this next phrase. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to heaven. Why? Because I'm going to get a chance face to face to see my Savior. When our faith one day will become sight. And I can't wait. So you don't know. I mean, we got a leaky faucet here. Our septic system's been broke for a year and a half, I think. Okay, a long time. 1 year plus 2 months. It's a long time when your septic system doesn't work. Your septic system doesn't work for about 10 minutes and you're upset. It's supposed to be fixed in 1 week. That's what they keep telling me. My house is falling apart. It's not as big as my neighbor's. My car is always in the shop. Let me tell you about something coming down the pike. It's a little place called heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. There's a group of saints waiting. Praying this morning, Brother Rice. You started listing some dear people to us that have gone on before us. The Bible says that there is a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter number 12. In Revelation chapter 5, there's a choir, it says, of saints from every tribe. There's a bunch of people that are going to be there, and we're going to be there together, singing the praises of God forever. Hey, when you get discouraged looking at this world and this life, just remember about eternity. This place is but a moment. But a moment. I got nothing to rejoice over. Salvation. The promise of heaven. The book that you hold in your hand. Psalm 119. When I use the word stereotype, you know what I mean? A stereotype is like this person falls in this category and therefore they behave in this way, right? Stereotypical two-year-old, right? Like, is a little bit of a, we'll use the word busy, but you understand what I mean, right? The stereotypical male, when given instructions or a project, puts the instructions aside and ventures in themselves. Don't need instructions. I know what to do. I am the complete opposite. I will read the instructions both in English, Chinese, German, Spanish, all of them. I look at all the pictures, the diagrams. Why? Because I've bought enough stuff and had to take enough stuff apart and then put it back together. And some of those plastic one-time push-through clips, if you do it too early, you can't get that back. And then you have a three-legged table instead of a four-legged table. Hey, we've gone down this road of life long enough to know that the book that we hold in our hand is beyond value. Why? Because it is God's instruction manual to us for life. Say, I have nothing to rejoice over. How about a love letter from the creator of this entire universe? Psalm 119, verse 162. Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at thy word, as one, look at what it says, as one that findeth great spoil. I hit the jackpot. What is that? This book. Years ago, we took our kids over to, remember Adventure Landing? Is that what it's called still? Adventure Zone? What is it called? Funhouse, Clubhouse. Do they have games still there? Like, yeah. Do they have like video games in there still? Yes. Okay. Seth knows. Took, I don't remember, was it, I can't remember if it was you guys or was it Hudson, but was it Joe? Joe found behind the machines a large sum of coins. Him and his buddies found coins to almost give them endless play. What happened? They hit some spoil. And for a 10-year-old boy to hit unlimited game tokens is about the great, it's what dreams are made of. With that same approach, Christian, we have the Word of God. So I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why, what is the purpose of life? I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. The book that you hold in your hands will explain it all. It is what we call truth. Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible tells us to rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 13, 6, but rejoiceth in the truth. Every now and then we'll get some good bread or something like that. And the kids, I don't know at your house, but at our house, the best breakfast anybody can make is an egg sandwich. That is the happiest amount of joy at breakfast time. Outside of homemade pancakes, that's it. So we'll get good bread, and the kids, they do this. They'll take the good rolls and hide them from one another. Joe is the tallest in our house. He'll put it up way up on top of the cabinets to prevent Hudson from getting it. They anticipate it. They can't wait for it. They wake up early to get to these things. Imagine if our approach to the Word of God was that way. If we rejoiced in the Word of God, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow to fellowship with God again. So why are you so downhearted? Maybe you've lost your joy. In losing your joy, I can about guarantee that you've put the Word of God aside. It has become a book that you'll seek and find to bring into the church house to not look out of place. But throughout the week, it is just another book that sits on your shelf, by your bedside, at the end of your, I don't know, wherever, in your car. Do we rejoice in the truth? The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 76, that the Word of God brings us comfort. Hey, there's things that you're going to go through in your life, ups and downs of life, that only the Word of God can comfort you. Even someone else that has gone through it and can sit by and do their best, and maybe you just weep with those that weep or rejoice over with those that rejoice. The Word of God has a way to just comfort you like nothing else can. Psalm 46 and verse 1 reminds us that the Word of God is our help in time of trouble. Why would we not rejoice over something that instructs us in what is true, that can comfort us when we're down, and helps us in our time of trouble? You better believe that we rejoice over such a book. It is the Word of God. There's world wars. I understand, it tells me, though. In the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. It just tells me I'm getting close. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be some that worship the creature more than the Creator. There's going to be some that do unnatural things. Yeah, I understand that, but that's what the Bible says will happen when we turn our hearts away from God. You know what the Word of God is? It's true. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Number one, because we're saved. Number two, because we have the promise of heaven, something to look forward to. In about 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a family vacation. So you excited about that? Well, it is a little bit of a ride, but I'm excited about getting to spend some time with family. And graduation's on the Sunday. We're heading out of town on Monday. And man, that's something to look forward to. Our kids are getting a little loony at the house because this is our last week of school. They're just pumped, excited, trying to extend bedtimes. Why? Because they have something to look forward to. As a Christian, we ought to be excited about heaven. We got something to look forward to. Our salvation, heaven, the Word of God, and lastly, rejoiceth evermore. Why? Well, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 17, the Bible tells us this, that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Say, why would I rejoice over that? Well, let's read some verses. John chapter 14, verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth is always with you. John chapter 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hey, between the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, we have purpose. We have direction. It's so nice when you know where you're going. Yes? It's so frustrating when you don't. Dark roads through the backwoods of Pennsylvania. I don't know if we fall off the edge of the world around this turn or there's more road and you're just driving cautiously and you just don't know. You've lost signal 30 minutes ago, but you think this is the right direction. And how about in your life? Stop listening to God. Stop yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Man, that's a frustrating feeling. It's a frustrating feeling not knowing where you're going. I'm so thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is, not only do we have the Word of truth, but we also have the Spirit of truth living inside of us. That when we start heading in the wrong direction, it's kind of like that lane assist. Anybody have that in their vehicles? You know what I'm talking about? Liz, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. So what happens is, when you're driving and you start, if you cross over the line, all of a sudden your car beeps. Ding, 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 ding. Dummy, get back in your lane, is pretty much what it says. It doesn't say those words, but. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is kind of like, as you start wandering a little bit, all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. Hey, you have the Word of truth. You've neglected a little bit, so we're going to present a warning to you. That's the Spirit of truth. Say, why does that make you rejoice? Man, that'll save you from a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. The Spirit of truth. Go back to John chapter 14. Not only do we have the Spirit of truth, but we have one whose name is, John chapter 14, verse 16, says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, look at this title, Comforter. Hey, I rejoice in the Holy Spirit of God indwelling me as the comforter, not only the Spirit of truth to give me guidance and direction in my life, but when I hit those down times of life, I don't have to go to the store and buy a Hallmark card or to feel better about myself. I don't have to drown my sorrows in a substance. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God as the comforter. Man, that's a blessing. John chapter 15, verse 26 says this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," straight from heaven, the Holy Spirit of God is. John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Well, Jesus Christ did go away, and he did send the Comforter. And the Comforter can comfort us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right? With a divine comfort that no one else can. So, when we do lose sight of things, and we do get consumed with the downsides of this world and the opposition of Christianity and the worldliness and the sin and all of those things, and we start wandering that way, because when we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this in my own life, when we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and I start looking at things, right, isn't that the direction it takes us? Holy Spirit of God says, no, come back. Offers us truth, offers us comfort. John chapter 16, verse 8. "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Not only does he offer comfort, but he also convicts. If you're here this morning and you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, got a chance to talk to some men yesterday, Christian men, and a prayer breakfast a little bit, and reminded those men, and I remind you again this morning, that there's no secrets with God. And the Holy Spirit will tear apart you from the inside out, because that's his job. He will reprove the world of sin. He will lead us in righteousness. He will execute judgment. Say, that makes you happy? That causes you to rejoice? You better believe it does. That's what keeps short accounts with the Lord himself. It's how we keep good fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1. What is the greatest enemy of us and the Lord? It's sin. It always has been. Sin is the thing that sends us to hell. Sin is the thing that breaks our fellowship with God. And the Holy Spirit indwelling us with the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth is the thing that flushes that thing out. Brings that out. I asked the question this morning, though, have you yielded to the Holy Spirit? That if God says, hey, this thing doesn't belong to you, yeah, I'm just going to kind of cover that up. Hey, God's trying to help you. He's trying to protect you from some things. So, Pastor, I'm just down. I'm discouraged. I'm hurting. And I understand there are seasons of life like that. I get it. But let's not lose sight of the verse that says, rejoice evermore. We are saved. If you're not saved, get it in. Get in. Today's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. We have something to rejoice over. What is that? Salvation. Heaven. The Word of God. And the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Because of all that, look at what we get to have. From one side of the room to the next, how front, back, look at how different we all are. Different shapes, sizes, colors. So you're not allowed to say that. God made us different colors. That's fine. No problem. Some are lighter. Some are... good. It's beautiful. And we get the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ together. He He creates the body of Christ. Because of all that, we all have something in common. We all live at different places. We all live, have different family scenarios. We all have different pasts. But all of these things is the common bond between us all. The Lord Jesus Christ offering salvation. We're part of the family of God. We are all headed to the same place. We all hold the Word of God, and we all have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. All of these things are common amongst us all. And it's what brings us together. Thankful for that. Thankful that somehow, some way, that transpires over to burgers and pasta salad or spaghetti salad. I don't know how that all works. But I love the fellowship. I love the fellowship together as we encourage one another in the things of the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, no question. You need to have forgiveness of your sins. If you've lost sight of heaven, well, let's get back on task. If you've taken the Word of God and you've set it aside in your life, go pick that book back up and start again. But I think most commonly, if there would be a struggle here, it would be us yielding to what the Spirit is trying to do inside our heart. Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit of God? Let's all stand. To be saved, you have to admit that you're a sinner. And maybe someone in this room right now isn't saved. Well, I'll tell you this. There's a number of people right now in their hearts and minds praying for you to have the courage to be able to come forward and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. See, that would be the greatest decision that you could ever make. In the same way, Christian, if you're here today and you're not yielded to the Spirit, that if He's convicting you of something and touching your heart about something and you're pushing against that, in the same way, there's a group of people here that are praying for you, trying to encourage you, get right with God. That's the best way to live. I encourage you here this morning. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Say, what does that mean? If something arises, get that fixed right away. It's not worth the broken fellowship. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe the Lord touch your heart about something. Maybe you have lost sight of the promises of God. Maybe you have neglected the Word of God, and you just want to come and renew that. Say, God, I'm sorry. I set it aside. I was bitter. I got angry. I was hurt. And I've neglected to rejoice in your word. Tomorrow starts a new day. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the time of invitation. Lord, the things that you spoke to our hearts about, Lord, may we be faithful. May we be faithful to making right with you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, would you just come stand right here? I'll have someone show you from the Word of God what it means to be saved. You know, the Holy Spirit stirs in our hearts. He convicts us of things. If you're harboring some sin, why not come get that thing right? It's not worth it.